First John chapter 5. We're going to look at this very important topic of prayer. Men are handing out a handout sheet for you to take notes. If you don't have one, raise your hand and they'll get you one. You know, we talk about growing as a Christian. And there are certain elements of growth that are just vital for a growing child of God. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's at least four things that you do in your spiritual walk. One is you spend time in the Word. Number two is you witness. Number three, you're involved in prayer. And number four, you're involved in a local church. I want to talk to this. I want to address this topic of prayer, and look at 1 John 5:14-15. In fact, let's stand tonight out of respect for the Word, and want us to look at 1 John 5:14-15. Let's read this together. Ready? And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Privilege tonight to open your Word, Father. Pray, dear God, that when it's all said and done, that not only would we have a desire, as we talked about this morning, to witness, but tonight we'd have a desire to pray. And for this next few minutes, as we look at this, I pray that you'd open our hearts to this truth and do a work. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Look at verse 14. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. So the thought is, here is our firm belief, confidence that we have in Jesus. Not in prayer, by the way, but in Jesus. So here's something we know about Jesus that gives us assurance. Here's something that we know for sure about Jesus Christ. And here it is. We have boldness or freedom in approaching God. It's like Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boldness before the throne. So this word confidence, this is the confidence that we have in Him. What does it mean? It means this. It means we have free access, freedom to say anything we want at any time when we come into the Father's presence to present our petitions. We have free access as a born-again child of God. We have freedom to say anything. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing in everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, in everything. So we have freedom to say anything we want at any time when we come into God's presence to present our petitions. That's a tremendous promise. Amen? So we can come any time of the day, any time of the night into the presence of God, and we know that He will be there. And we have this confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, go back to 1 John 3:21. And in chapter 3, John gives us a prerequisite before we have this confidence. Why is it that a person will not have confidence in prayer? Look at verse 21. 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. So we must have a heart that does not condemn us if we have confidence in prayer. What does that mean? It means all known sin is confessed. So He says, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Question for you. Have you ever had a condemning heart? Say amen if you have. Yeah. You say, what are you talking about? Well, there's just something wrong in your heart. And you go to pray, and it seems like your prayers simply bounce off the ceiling. Well, let's talk about a solution to that. Have you dealt with a condemning heart? You say, what's a condemning heart? It's a heart that it does not, it's not clear. It's a conscience that's not clear with God. So the thought is, how do you deal with a condemning heart? Clear your conscience with God and man. Make it right with God. 1 John 1:9. Make it right with man. Acts 24:16. So back to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. I would say, here's a challenge for married couples. You're married? Let me ask you a question. Do you realize that your prayers will be hindered if things are not right between you and your spouse? You realize that? You're not right with God. You're not right with your spouse. Your prayers aren't going to be answered. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together, husband and wife, of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You say, what does that mean? Did you have conflicts with your spouse that's not made right? Don't expect a powerful prayer life. Second of all, this is a challenge for everyone. Matthew 5, verse 23 and 24. Turn there. Matthew chapter 5. Keep your finger in 1 John 5. Matthew 5, 23, we're told that if we expect answers to prayer, we must not have aught against a brother. And we must first be reconciled to our brother before we approach the throne of God. Look at Matthew 5, 23. It says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, that's alluding to the sacrificial system. You've got your lamb, that precious lamb that's lived in your home as a child. You're bringing it. It's like you're giving your heart. You're presenting, you're dedicating your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you bring your gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee. Not so much that you got aught against him, though that's elsewhere in Scripture. But you've got another Christian brother that's got an offense towards you. What do? You leave your gift before the altar. That means you say, okay, Lord, I'm committing my heart and life to you. And the Lord, the Spirit of God, prompts you and says, well, you got somebody that's got aught against you. You better make it right before I can give you real peace. And so you say, all right, I'm going to make it right. So you leave your gift before the altar. You go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. John 15, verse 7, we're told that we must be walking with Christ, abiding in him and his word abiding in us. So we must be walking with Christ if we're going to get what we ask for in prayer. If we have that confidence in prayer. 1 John 15, 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So back to 1 John chapter 5. The first thing we see here is we must ask. We must ask. And this is the will of God. And it goes, if we ask anything according to his will. I think it's assumed in Scripture that you and I know we must ask. I think it's assumed that we know we've got to pray. I mean, God puts that in our heart. John 14, 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 15, 16. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. John 16, verse 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Here too have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Happiest Christians here tonight are those who have answers to prayer. Matthew 7:7-8, you know this. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. James 1:5-6, if any of you lack wisdom, what? Let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and what? It shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. James 4:2, you have not, why? Because you ask not. Moses, Exodus 15:24-25, the people murmured. What did he do? He cried unto the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree. You say, what does that mean? Well, let me give you the passage. Exodus 15:24, the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. So Moses prayed, and God showed him a tree. Hannah asked for a man-child. God gave her Samuel. Says, Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. The Philistines drew near and to battle against Israel. The Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, discomfited them, made a noise, confused them, and they were smitten before Israel. Samuel cried out to God. Elijah, 1 Kings 18:37-38. I like that little phrase, then the fire fell. Then the fire fell. The background there, 1 Kings 18:37, he prays, hear me, O Lord, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, what did they do? They fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. That came after Elijah prayed. The early church. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. When they had prayed. Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The word faint carries the idea of backing off your intensity for the Lord. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. 1 John 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all, priority, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And you go down to verse 8 of 1 Timothy 2, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Robert Murray McShane said, what a man is, he is alone on his knees before God and no more. It's not that convicting. Basically, we're not much of a Christian if we don't pray. E.M. Bounds, prayer is the channel through which all good flows to men. Prayer is a privilege, a sacred princely privilege. Prayer is a duty, an obligation, most binding, a most imperative, which should hold us to it. But prayer is more than a privilege. Prayer is more than a duty. He says it is the appointed condition of getting God's aid. It is the avenue through which God supplies man's wants. S.D. Gordon, great man of God, said this, the greatest thing anyone can do for God and man is pray. He says it's not the only thing, but it is the chief thing. The great people of the earth today are people who pray. He says, I do not mean those who talk about prayer, nor those who say they believe in prayer, nor yet those who can explain about prayer. But I mean those people who take time to pray. G. Campbell Morgan, great Bible scholar, he said any discussion of prayer which did not issue into the practice of prayer was not only not helpful, but is dangerous. Isn't that good? So the first thing we see here in 1 John 5 is we must ask. So what are you asking God for right now? You got a prayer list? You got things specifically you're asking the Lord for? Can you share any prayer answers that you had lately? You have anything that God did supernaturally this last week? We must ask. You say, well, I can't think of anything. Well, let me ask you something. Have you prayed? Second of all, we must ask according to His will. So what does that mean? Well, it says in 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. What does it mean to ask according to His will? It means in agreement with His word and His plans. You see, God's will never lead us contrary to His word. Amen? I mean, you ask in line with what God wants to do. Ask in line with something that God is okay with in the Word of God. Robert Law, he said, prayer is the mighty instrument, not for getting man's will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done on earth. George Mueller, great prayer warrior, he said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of God's willingness. A man by the name of Jackman said, answers to prayer do not depend on a right diagnosis or analysis of the problem by us as we pray, but on a childlike submission to the Father. No, let me stop here. Paul says it's like when we pray, it's like lifting our hands up saying, Abba, Father. Dada. That's what the word Abba means. Daddy. There's a special relationship with the Lord. He says a childlike submission to the Father, knowing that He will give what is best according to His will. It says if He were to answer on any other basis, which of us would ever dare to pray again? We do not have that sort of wisdom. Someone said this. He said, well then, if it's God's will that I have it, why should I pray for it? You ever had anybody say that to you? These are the 5-point Calvinists. Why witness? People are going to get saved whether you witness or not. Why do you give an invitation to your church? If they're going to get saved, they're going to get saved. And your invitation is not going to make any difference. Why do you ask a person when you witness to them, would you like to pray right now and receive Christ? Why do you do that? That's using the arm of the flesh. If God's going to save me, He's going to save him, whether you confront their will or not, which I think is heresy. Well, I like what Warren Wiersbe said in answer to that question. If it's God's will that I have it, why do I pray for it? He said this, because prayer is the way God wants His children to get what they need. He said God not only ordains the end, but He also ordains the means to an end, and that's prayer. He says prayer is really the thermometer of the spiritual life. God has ordained that I maintain a close walk with Him if I expect Him to meet my needs. So why then must I pray according to His will? Well, James says it pretty well. James 4 verse 3 says, you ask, you receive not, because you ask amiss, because you're not being wise when you ask. It's not according to God's will. He says that you may consume it upon your lusts. It's like, hey, pastor, would you pray with me? Sure. What do you want me to pray about? Well, I'd like to become a millionaire this week. Wonder why. Well, so I can be rich and have a lot of fun. So, I'm sorry, I can't pray that. Because you're asking that you may consume it upon your lusts. Well, would you pray for me this week then? How do you want me to pray? Well, I'm praying about God's will as far as robbing a bank. Pray that I have wisdom there. Or, here it is, as I date another man's wife. Or as I cheat on my income tax. How about this? This gets more dear to all of us. We all have this. Would you pray for me? Well, actually, I have a dear friend. Would you pray for them? How do you want me to pray? They're in stage 4 cancer. How do you pray if you don't know the will of God? Let me get more personal. My mom died of cancer. How did I pray? Well, of course, I said, Lord, if it's your will, please heal her. Well, it was his will that my mother go to glory. I sat with her in a hospital here in the metro area. Her lower abdomen was bursting. The bones were breaking. The cancer was growing. She was hurting so bad. She sang to the Lord. And she wanted me to sing with her. She went to heaven. I had a struggle with that. How did I pray? Oh God, I'm asking you to heal my mother of cancer. Well, God said, my will is to take her home. Or, hey, would you pray for my great-grandfather? Well, sure I will. Pray that he'd have many more years of service left, okay? Well, how old is he? 110? Well, 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Heareth us. It's more than just having our request register with him. The word heareth means he's very attentive to our request. And he listens favorably to our requests, especially when they're in line with his will. Not only does he hear us, he hears us. He acts upon it. John 9:31. So we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Psalm 66:18. If I regard my iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayers of a righteous. Proverbs 28:9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. Said, man, I don't like God's word. But would you pray for me anyway? Well, I have a promise for you. He that turneth away his ear from hearing, acting upon, obeying the law, the word of God, even his prayer shall be an abomination. So what do we do when we don't know how to pray according to his will? It's like, well, I'm struggling with this. Ask him to reveal how to pray. Try fasting and prayer. I always have a real struggle with someone who says, I have an unspoken request, Pastor. And pretty soon, it's like a snowball effect. I have an unspoken too. I have an unspoken too. I have an unspoken. I'm yet to find unspoken requests in the Bible. I'm just saying. If you can find it, show me. I'll tell the folks. But I'm yet to find it. An unspoken. How am I going to pray for your unspoken if I don't know if it's the will of God? Well, Pastor, will you pray for me? I have an unspoken. Okay, let's pray. Lord, help Cecil here to know your will and how to pray. Amen. Right? All right. Third thing, he will answer. Look at verse 15, or 35, 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, here's what we know. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If we know that he's hearing us, if we know we're in his will, he's acting upon us, we're in right relationship with him. If we know that if he hears us, whatsoever we ask, then we know that we have the petitions. Those are requests. Things we ask for, that's petitions. that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Wiersbe said this, the pages of the Bible and the pages of history are filled with reports of answered prayer. He goes on. He says, prayer is not spiritual self-hypnosis. Nor do we pray because it makes us feel better. We pray because God has commanded us to pray, and because prayer is a God-appointed means for a believer to receive what God wants to give him. Prayer keeps a Christian in the will of God, and living in the will of God keeps a Christian in the place of blessing and service. Then he makes this statement, we're not beggars. We are children coming to a wealthy father who loves to give his children what they need. Amen? Don't you wonder? Don't you wonder about someone who doesn't want to pray with you? Amen? Hey, you got time to pray? How'd you like to pray with us men? Hey, how'd you like to pray just one-on-one? Can I pray with you after church? Can I pray with you here before church? Can I pray with you? Well, you know, I'm really busy. And you'll watch that person wander around, looking, staring at people. The fact is, they don't want to pray. So what do we do about this? First of all, we prioritize our prayer and prayer in our schedule. Plan your day around prayer, not prayer around your day. And you say, what do you mean? Your first priority is prayer. Pray. And then let the rest of your day go forward. Plan it in that time. Instead of saying, okay, Lord, the snooze button. I push the snooze button. I'm going to pray at lunchtime. Well, lunchtime comes and some of your friends want to eat lunch with you and things just happen, or you have to work during the lunchtime. And okay, Lord, I'm going to pray tonight. Well, you get home at night, you got projects, things, and you start out the next day the same way. Well, it's because you have planned prayer around your day, not your day around prayer. So prioritize prayer in your schedule. Number two, establish a schedule of prayer. Some like quoting scripture first, praise, and then petition. Some like to use the model prayer that Jesus gave us. We hallow his name. We go on through the prayer list that he gives us. And then third of all, develop a prayer list. Who are you praying for? Fourth of all, learn to pray without ceasing. Learn to pray during the day. You see a beautiful sunset, thank you, Lord, for that sunset. Amen. You're driving to work, the Lord prompts you to pray about somebody, pray for them as you're going. And don't shut your eyes if you're driving, right? Amen. He can hear your prayer if your eyes are open. Now, there are several things in the Bible accomplished through prayer, and this will be the last point. Number one, workers for the ministry are recruited. We don't have enough workers in a certain area of ministry. What does Jesus say? Matthew 9:37. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. The laborers are few. Go on a great recruitment campaign, and then I'll give you laborers for the harvest. Right? No. What does he say? Matthew 9:38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Pray. Maybe the reason you don't have somebody to help in a certain area of your ministry is you're not praying for them. Number two, doors for preaching or doors for proclaiming the word of God are open through prayer. Colossians 4:3-4. With all praying also for us, that God would open for unto us a door of utterance. Paul prayed that to the Colossians. Pray that God would give us open doors for utterance. Open doors to speak truth. He says, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Pray that God would give me open doors. Number three, boldness to speak, Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. Here's how you pray for me. That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make the mystery, make known the mystery of the gospel. Hey, I have a prayer request. What is it? I don't have courage to witness. Okay, we'll pray for you. Let's pray together for this brother to have boldness to speak the word as he ought. That's what Paul says. That's what God says. Number four, the word is spread and glorified. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brethren, he says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. You've heard me pray this. Others have prayed, Lord, may your word have free course. What on earth does that mean? Well, it's like a domino. Dominoes. You ever lined up dominoes and have them go da, 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 all the way down? It's like the word of God may have a domino effect. It's like as I give the word, as I speak truth in this person's life, may that person be impacted. May they impact somebody. May that person impact somebody. And way down the line, a domino effect. May your word have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Number five, the powers of opposition are broken. 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God, here it is, word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Now look at the next verse. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. An unreasonable man, the word unreasonable means beyond the limits of acceptability. A man that's not guided by good sense. Lord, may you deliver me from that kind of man. Unreasonable and wicked man. Wicked means a morally corrupt, evil man. So, Lord, I'm asking you that your word would have free course as I speak, and that you would deliver me from those who are not guided by good sense and who are morally corrupt, evil people. Number six, God's servants are kept from harm because of prayer. Acts 12, verse 5. Remember that story? Peter let out of prison. It says he was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And then you go to verse 17 of that chapter. It says, but he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. So through prayer, Peter was let out of prison. And last of all, number seven, mighty works are accomplished because of prayer. John 14:12-14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, in my name means by my authority, through the blood, through the redeemed blood, through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name because of my reputation, that's a whole thought, that will I do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And here, let me leave you with this. If ye shall ask anything in my name, what? I will do it. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Can you say that with me? If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. One more time. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Father, I do thank you for your word. I pray, dear God, that you would teach us to pray. Thank you that you answer prayer. We give you the glory.